You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Break a Bat podcast, where baseball meets Broadway. An attempt to show that my two favorite mediums don't have to live in such separate worlds and maybe even break some stigmas. We're happy to have you with us. Now let's play ball. Hello and welcome to Break a Bat. I'm your host, Al Malafrante, coming at you for the Broadway Podcast Network. Today we're joined by one of Broadway's most popular players. She got her start when she originated the role of Catherine Plummer in Newsies, which put her on the map, as she also went on to play Catherine in the movie version of Newsies as well. Ever since, she's actually pulled the Broadway equivalent of an Andy Pettit a couple times over the past decade, with multiple stints as Glinda in Wicked in 2014, and then again in 2016. And then throughout 17, 18, and 19, she did the same over the course of two separate stints as Cynthia Weil in Beautiful, the Carole King musical, which, as many of our listeners know, is probably my favorite Broadway show. If I lost any of the theater folks, including Kara, with the Andy Pettit reference there, more or less Andy Pettit had multiple stints with another Broadway powerhouse franchise, much like a Wicked or a Beautiful, a franchise that we know as the New York Yankees. Left and came back on a few separate occasions and cemented a legacy as one of the best pitchers in Yankee history through the course of each stint, and certainly a fan favorite, which certainly applies to my guest today as well. So she's really had a phenomenal career. I'm so grateful she could join us today. So with that being said, if you'll please turn your attention to home plate, just beyond the marquee, now batting, Kara Lindsay. Kara, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me, Al. I'm super excited. And thank you for clarifying, because I am not a baseball junkie, so I know not.
I wasn't sure if it'd be way over your head. I figured, you know, maybe since you were a New Yorker, Andy Pettit might be just as synonymous.
I know the name because of my husband, but I like don't watch baseball at all. Although, hold on. What do I have? Oh, that's not. We have some baseball bibs. I'm literally in my baby's closet right now, recording this. And I'm sitting next to all of his bibs, and we have like some New York Yankees bibs. We have a Mets bib, and you know, just so. Anyway, that's the extent of my knowledge.
I thought for half a second you were going to pull out a Mets hat that I saw you rocking, because I know, in some ways, you're no stranger to the baseball world, because I think it was like 2015, you sang the national anthem at Citi Field the year the Mets won the pennant. That must have been pretty cool.
That was really, really cool. I was so terrified and excited, and it was awesome. I hadn't been to a baseball game in so long, and it was such a blast. My husband came with me, obviously, because he's the one that like actually enjoys watching. He came with me, and like I was so nervous that I'd be one of those people that would go viral on YouTube for forgetting the words to, you know, the national anthem. So he stood there with me, and I was like, if I give you a look like I'm terrified, can you just like start mouthing the words? Luckily that didn't happen, but anyway, it was a blast. It was such a fun game. So,
oh, absolutely. And now let me ask you, who's more passionate, the fansies or the baseball fans?
Oh, I mean, I'm going to say fansies. Yeah, I don't know. I think the fansies are just, it's like they live it. They embody a newsie, you know? And I guess that's what baseball fans do as well, but I don't know. It's different to me, but that's also because I'm also passionate about Newsies. So, So I think the Newsies, fansies.
And, you know, I think it's one of those shows that it really just resonates with New Yorkers in such a special way. And Kara, like me, you're not just a New Yorker. You're an Italian New Yorker. And we've obviously got the holidays coming up, you know, despite everything going on with COVID. Do we have a fun holiday season planned?
Listen, Christmas starts now. I'm one of those annoying people, and my mother has like six Christmas trees. Like, we go all out for Christmas. I mean, also Thanksgiving is the food. That's what the Italians do. We do the food. So that's definitely in the plans, but like the decorating, I don't know if your family's that way. The decorating is all out, full out. We don't hold back.
And when do you start? Like after Halloween, or are we talking like after Thanksgiving?
Well, after Thanksgiving, like literally the day after. Like Black Friday. Black Friday is Christmas Friday for me. Because I feel like I don't want to be judged. Not like people are going to come into my home and be like, why do you have so many Christmas decorations before it's even Thanksgiving? But I think also I want to live in the, it's Thanksgiving time. Right now it's Halloween time, but I start listening to Christmas music November 1st. I guess it's me and I force everyone else around me to listen to it November 1st. Like when I was at Wicked, my dresser, Kate Getches, who's also a dear friend of mine, we would start listening to Christmas music November 1st and it was the best. And people would come into our dressing room and just be so annoyed with us, but then start to kind of like it. Favorite Christmas song? I think just all of them. It's the most wonderful time of the year. But I don't know. All of them. It's just so bright and cheery and like, it's so sweet. It's so nice that we have that kind, like all those holidays around the winter months that, you know, people are celebrating just to like not think about being enclosed inside and then also this pandemic. So, that's nice.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And are you going back up to Rochester for the holidays?
Yeah. So we'll be back up there. Of course. I mean, we're all going to try and be safe and do our part. And it'll be nice to all be together. And also Emerson turns one. Emerson is my baby boy. He turns one on November 12th. So we won't be in Rochester yet for that, but we're going to celebrate his first birthday when we're there and do the whole cake thing, you know, where the baby like digs his hands into the cake and either they enjoy it or they hate it. I can't wait. I'm so excited.
That's unbelievable. I know. And you literally became a mother, you know, shortly before COVID hit at this point.
Yes.
So you've had like a whirlwind of stuff going on. Cause like, I feel like consistently ever since you came up through the system, that's like a little bit of a baseball term. You've constantly.
What is the system?
Since you got called up to the big leagues.
Oh, Broadway?
Yeah. Ever since you got on the Broadway, you've been like nonstop. You're always in something and you're always one of the leads and you do such a great job. So I imagine, you know, with everything else going on in the world is one thing, but this is pretty different because this is the first time you've had a real layoff.
Yeah. Because, you know, getting to the big leagues, I had lots of layoff time and, you know, trying to make ends meet in New York and babysitting jobs and working at a couple of restaurants and catering and all that kind of stuff. So I had that time, but I'm also at a different time in my life. So I'm older and a mom and I can't go out and just do those things as easily anymore. And you kind of have to get more creative with how you work from home, which everybody has to figure out, even if regardless of whether you're a mom or not. So that's been interesting. It is crazy to think that like we had Emerson and then that whole newborn phase is crazy. You just don't sleep and you don't know what day it is or what time of day it is. And you're like, I just hope I survive this day. And then we got past that and it was the holidays and we were able to somewhat enjoy that, which was awesome. And then we went to Disney World because Kevin and I sang together in Epcot. We do the Festival of the Arts and we perform for Disney on Broadway, sort of presenting how a Disney movie is translated to a Broadway stage, which is so fun to be a part of that festival. And we were there. Emerson was 9 weeks old when we got there and he was 12 weeks old by the time we left. And it was just so awesome to get to do that. And then once we got back, we had about 3 weeks and then that's when COVID hit. COVID was already on TV when we were down in Florida. It was like, it's like in Seattle or whatever. It was like kind of here and I had to turn it off. I was like, no, we're in Disney World. Everything's great. Everything is awesome. But then it hit. So it was wild. So most of Emerson's life has been quarantine. Isn't that, it's just crazy. And I know a lot of people are, you know, a lot of people have had babies during this. So their baby only knows the quarantine and masks and all of that. Like he's not, at first he was afraid of it because it wasn't a thing at first. And then once we added it, he was like, no, absolutely not. I need to see your whole face, not just your eyeballs. But now he's used to it and he'll pull it off our face. And it's like, whatever.
Now you mentioned Disney. Now before you got cast in Newsies, were you like a big Disney fan?
Yes, I love Disney. I mean, I don't know who doesn't. And if you don't love Disney, I don't trust you.
I agree with you. So I have a buddy, Sidney Oliveri. I've used his name on the show a couple times, and he ripped on me back when it was my 21st birthday. I went to Disneyland in California as part of like a 3-part trip to San Diego, Disney, and LA. And he's like one of those guys that makes fun of adults who love Disney. And especially like during this time, I don't know about you, but I subscribe to Disney Plus and I am loving it. It's the only things getting me through right now.
Totally. It's the best. Disney Plus, Broadway Plus. Disney Plus, it's the best. What's your favorite show on Disney Plus?
Well, favorite show, I liked, I like some of the documentaries. I watched one recently about the Sherman Brothers, you know, who wrote all that great music, yeah. Mary Poppins and Chitty Chitty Bang Bang and stuff like that. I really love that one. Okay. And then there's Prop Culture. That was one series I watched pretty much in its entirety. That, you know, the guy goes around and he, you know, uncovers certain props from all the different Disney films. They did like Mary Poppins and the Muppet movie, Nightmare Before Christmas. That one's been
pretty good. Oh, that's awesome. Now I'm like thinking about that Sherman Brothers. I need to watch that.
Yeah, that was a good one too. And I did happen to, you know, of course, come across the film version of Newsies, which you were just awesome in.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for watching that.
Of course. And listen, I know that, you know, we're all in masks now, but when we go outside, but have a lot more people recognized you since the movie came out?
When the movie initially came out? Yeah. Which was interesting. I mean, not like a ton. It's not like it's this blockbuster film. You know, I think it's mostly, it's people that love musical theater that have maybe recognized me. You know, they're already in that world. It's not, you know, like Angelina Jolie in my dreams, you know? I mean, so it's just like a couple times it's happened, but it's generally I find out that like they're in their high school musicals at their school. So like they're already a part of it and aware, and or they did Newsies because now Newsies is out for licensing, so high schools and all these schools are doing it, which that was a whole other thing when schools started to put on their own productions of Newsies because it's now licensed. The kids would go on and find Newsies on Netflix or wherever it may be, now Disney Plus, and they would watch it to learn about the show and learn about their production, and in doing so they follow me, and they're like, oh, you were Catherine. And I'm like, oh, okay. I did that like 10 years ago. Thank you. but it's, you know, it's a part of me forever. Newsies changed my life. So I love that the kids are all getting to tell the story themselves and get to enjoy the music. Cause it's like, it's the best. Alan Menken's the best. So I love hearing their love for it now. It's just, it's so great.
The earworms in that show. Now, I know your big showstopper is Watch What Happens. And let's say that's your grand slam in the show, but you also had like a, let's call it a double. That's like a bit of an earworm, at least for me, during the reprise of Watch What Happens. And you have that part where you go like, we've got faith. And then it goes, we've got a plan. There was a point where I was singing that so much where my roommate would just pick up where I'd leave off in the song, and you hear from the other room, and we've got Jack. And it's like, I legitimately, it became like part of the fabric of our old apartment. Like, and he hadn't even seen the show or the movie. He wasn't a Broadway guy, but you'd hear him in the other room singing this. Like if I would start singing the song, he would just fill in like the lyric right behind me. It was so damn catchy.
That is so funny. Like that particular part of all of the parts.
Of all the parts, yeah, not Seize the Day or anything like that. That was the one that, like, for some reason, it would just get stuck in my head. Like, we've got faith, we've got a plan. And then you'd hear, and we've got Jack, like, in that back room.
That's amazing. I love that. Normally, it's because Ben Fankhauser, who played Davey, he always warmed up doing the poor guy's head is spinning, that part in the Watch What Happens reprise. And because he was always warming up doing that, and Andrew Keenan Bolger was doing like the backstage sneak peeks for Broadway.com or Playbill or all of them, I don't know, and had Ben Fankhauser on there doing that, all the fansies were like, ooh, do it, do the poor guy's head is spinning, all the time. So honestly, that's generally the moment from Watch What Happens reprise that's always in people's heads, because it's been like drilled in people's heads. So I love that yours is like, and we've got Jack.
Maybe I'm a fansy and I didn't even know it, that, you know, that there's such a fixation on, you know, catching these little parts of these songs that are just so catchy. I feel a lot better about myself, actually.
Yeah. Good. You are a fansy. I grant you fansy. Dumb.
I'm so honored. And it's like, that's actually coming from a queen, because you're also like a Queen Glinda on Broadway as well. And you know, done some epic parts now. What's your favorite of all these shows you've done?
Oh, thanks. That's so nice. I you know, I get that question a lot and I always answer it like this.
And we always try to pride ourselves on not doing the cookie cutter questions. So I'm sorry if you've been asked this.
No, but that's a question I ask people. I want to know, because some people have a specific one and I want to know, but I really don't have like a specific one. So I've only been in 3 Broadway shows and they're all my favorite because Broadway. And also, and I'll tell you why they're all my favorite. Newsies is my favorite because it was my Broadway debut and I got to create a role, which was amazing, and work for Disney. And then Glinda was my favorite because it was the most fun I've ever had on stage. It was the most sense of play that I've ever experienced ever. And it was also such a challenge that I was so excited to conquer and overcome and do it and succeed. So I was grateful for that. And I mean that in like vocal. I thought I couldn't sing it and it was just so hard to do, but then I did it and I was grateful for that. And then Beautiful is my favorite because I did the show until I was 5 months pregnant and Emerson was on stage with me. And so the first time I ever felt him kick was when I was on stage, which is wild and so cool. And it's so beautiful. It's just like ingrained in my heart for that reason, to get to be 2 people at once experiencing like a dream. And that was just so awesome. And the whole cast with Beautiful, they were so supportive and wonderful about that entire experience for me and journey. So therefore, they're all my favorite.
That's a good answer. I mean, you say, well, I've only been in 3 Broadway shows. I mean, 3 of the best. And Beautiful is probably my favorite show. It's like on a short list of shows that I've gotten seen twice, just because I love that Carole King music. It's just so timeless, right?
It is timeless. That is the perfect way to put it. Yeah. It's so good. What?
You ever get to meet her?
Yes, a couple of times. She is the sweetest, most humble human, most humble celebrity I have ever had the opportunity to meet. She is just so wonderful. I don't know why, like, most celebrities that I've met, I mean, I haven't met that many, but it's like they're at this higher place, like, and they kind of carry themselves that way, and they should. I mean, they're amazing. They're a celebrity because of the accomplishments they've had. And she's accomplished so much, and yet she's like walking around like, you know, like, I don't know, like your cool, sweet, adorable little aunt, your Aunt Nancy, you know, like, just, she doesn't carry herself with this air of, you must hold me at a high regard. You know, and not that other people are bad for doing that. I'm trying not to bash other people, but like there's something so sweet and wonderful about that quality. And it makes you just love her more. So the way she's portrayed in Beautiful is entirely accurate. You know, like how Carole King, I don't know who you saw play Carole King, but generally they're, it's all kind of the same in terms of the energy that she's like a little nervous and insecure, but like brilliant.
Yeah.
That's who she is. Like, you met her too.
I met her through Jesse Mueller and Melissa Benoist. And I think it was right before.
Oh.
So 2018, it was like June. So I think it might have been right before you came back. Is that my
right? Yeah, probably. Right, yeah, Jessica Keenan Wynn. She's so amazing.
Yeah, she was good. She was good. She's no Kara Lindsay, but no. Nah.
Oh, no, I'm no Jessica Keenan Wynn. It goes that way because I follow her.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Now, having done all these big projects and all these great shows, is there like a type of role that you'd really love to originate and put your own stamp on the way you kind of did with Newsies? That, you know, that's kind of had this, you know, you're so synonymous with Katherine Plumber that, you know, whether it be, you know, some, you know, inspired by a true story like a Carole King or a completely original story. Do you ever think in those terms?
Yeah, I think right now, and maybe because everything has to be filmed, I would love to try more film and TV. I would love to, I've been trying to get into voiceover for, in terms of animation, for the past like 5-6 years. And it's such a hard mold to break or world to break into. It's so hard. And I just love it so much. So I would love to do that. I love playing all these different characters and getting to like, this is my little booth right here that we're in right now. I mean, I should be using my mic. Sorry. I should have connected it all. So that's a world I would love to break into and play something kooky and silly and like something I probably couldn't if it were my actual face and body, because, you know, I don't look like it, but it's a character I can step into over voice. But then in terms of musicals, as I age and get older, I would love to play a mom one day on stage. However that is, just since I have that understanding now, and you always approach a character from your own experience and who you are. And this is a new part of me. And I would love to explore that. So.
Yeah, that's a great answer. And it's funny you touch on the animation thing. Like growing up, were you like a really theatrical kid always doing impressions and whatnot of, you know, different cartoon characters, or are you just always like kind of like on that musical theater route? And this is something that you found along the way that you were passionate about.
I was very shy. Very. I only sang in my bedroom, and I would, if my parents weren't home, like if I was home alone, I would sing, but I was very shy. I would do all of that experimenting by myself. So I was in no way was I like showing off and saying, "Hey, listen to me." I just didn't have that confidence. But eventually over time, the more I did it and the more like my music teacher said, Kara, okay, it's your turn to sing by yourself. And I'm like, you know, my heart's pounding and terrified. But then I do it. And then that each time I do it, I get more and more courage. But no, I wasn't like that. I think that part of what I love about theater is that it sort of brought me out of my shell, and it still does that. It forces me to be confident, even if I'm pretending and acting, you know, and it allows me to step into this other energy, and that other energy is still a part of me. It's something that I access, and I don't know. I love that. I love how it feels to do that. And it inspires me to use that in my everyday life. So it's just, all that to say, no, I didn't like make voices a lot. I think actually in college, I would do that with my friends. Sometimes we would like make up voices or, you know, when you'd see, like I had a dog growing up and it's like, you want to give them a voice sometimes. You know, so all those dog videos are like on Instagram and probably TikTok and all the things, like when you give them life by making a voice for them, that's one of my favorite things. So I do that. And I do that with Emerson now, just like giving him voices. But yeah, other than that, it's really just watching animated films and cartoons. I grew up with the Saturday morning cartoons, loved all of those. So I think it just was cool to understand, like, there's people behind that and they're making those voices, and like they have a scene based on this character that's drawn. It's just such a cool world. So anyway.
Yeah, no, I think that's so true. And especially with what you do, I feel like it would be very easy for you to step into something like that, because with what you do on stage, you're a master of, it's not just doing a voice, you're developing a character. And that's something that, you know, that you've always done really well. And yeah, I would like to see more folks in the Broadway community step into those waters, because I think it could be really special. And I think that, you know, the style of acting really lends itself well, you know, to that type of medium, you know, depending on the age genre, you know, of course you have, you know, the stuff for preschoolers, but you know, there's a sophistication to a lot of these cartoons and whatnot, like the Peanuts characters, for example. I always thought that was a really, it's kind of like sophisticated in a way.
Totally. Oh gosh, the Peanuts.
Oh, you don't even know how upset I am. So I'm not sure if you heard that, you know, all the holiday specials that the Peanuts did. Now you have to be like an Apple TV Plus subscriber. They're not playing them on ABC or CBS this year. And it's like, I don't have Apple TV Plus. I might have to go home, get a DVD player from my mom's house and bring it to my apartment with the original DVDs just so I could, you know, watch my Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas.
I know. You have to subscribe to everything. So basically you're going to be spending like $100 a month or $200 to like watch all these things. It's crazy. Oh man.
I know. I'm kind of tapped out on the Disney Plus and Netflix, but what have you been watching during the pandemic?
Well, right now, because we're nearing the election, I'm just all news all the time, honestly. But what did we watch before? I guess we watched a couple episodes of Ratched, which was, I just don't like suspense. It's a lot for me. What did we watch? Schitt's Creek is always a go-to. I love Schitt's Creek. It's very funny. I haven't really been watching that much other than that. That's it.
I thought for sure you were going to say Tiger King somewhere in there.
Oh my God. I did watch that. I have to admit.
That was like a different lifetime ago, but at this point,
almost a year ago. I mean, it's not almost a year ago, but it's more than half the year. So it's just, that was, I could not wait to watch the next one. And I was like, I hate myself for that, because what is this?
Junk food.
Why do I care? I know. It's just, oh God. It was like such a waste of brain space.
And now Carol Baskin's on Dancing with the Stars.
And is she a murderer?
I think so. What do you think? Was that your takeaway?
Yeah, because there were a couple of episodes after the fact, right, that followed up on Tiger King, and I've only watched one of them. And it's just, I don't know. I mean, you're innocent until proven guilty. But
hopefully she's not listening to this. I hope I didn't just, you know, get myself onto her her naughty list. But I think that there's certainly a world's away from New York City. So I think I'm probably
well. You can edit this out, I guess, or the Tigers are gonna come for you, Al. No, who knows? We all don't know. It's all dramatized, and like we're being brainwashed. by the Tigers.
Now, one thing I wanted to ask you about is, you know, as far as Broadway's return goes, I know a lot of dates have been thrown out there and whatnot, and you know, so much has to happen medically. But you know, this was something that crossed my mind, and I'm curious, you know, for someone like yourself who's really established, who's accomplished a lot, if you like, you know, once the weather gets nicer, do you think that we could see maybe some outdoor shows? Is that something that's kind of being talked about in the Broadway community until theaters can actually open up? Because I know it's obviously a big expense. You have to get producers to sign off on stuff so you can make your money back. But do you yourself ever think of like a great comeback route for Broadway?
That's actually, I have no idea. I don't know, but I think that, you know, Shakespeare in the Park is a thing, and Hair was done in the park. So I think Into the Woods was done in the park. I think a show like that will happen. I don't see why not. Now that we figured out how to safely approach these things, we can, but we were sort of figuring that out over the summer, and it's not enough time this past summer. So it's not enough time to make something happen. But I think now maybe producers and such are thinking how we can go into the spring and summer safely. But I think the indoor, no windows situation, close together, that's Broadway. You know, it's these old theaters. They don't have, maybe they're working on ventilation systems. I have no idea. I would love to, like, can you sit down with somebody on the Broadway League and ask them all these questions? Because these are all the things I'm curious about. But maybe they are, you know, working on some ventilation. And, but I think they're only opening a few shows first, not, you know, all of them at once. I think they're going to kind of do a gradual open, which makes sense. See how it goes. And that's all I know. But I'm sure more outdoor things will be happening. There are several concerts that that a bunch of us have been asked to do that are like distanced. So the either like duet concert situation or just solo concert. Those are happening now, which is nice to hear, but that's not Broadway. You know, that's not a scene where, and there's so many people that make a show happen, and there's nothing like that live experience. And yes, Hamilton being on Disney Plus and Newsies and all these shows being available on Broadway HD and stuff. It's wonderful. And it's the best they can do to make it feel as live as possible for you, but it's still not, you know, there's nothing like that experience. So I know that people still crave that. And I know, like, as an audience member and also as an actor. So I'm excited for that day where it can happen for everyone. You know, even kids in middle school that want to do their middle school show live in person. So I can't wait for that. However it happens, I think people are getting creative. That's what we do. We create. So it's really neat to see how creative creatives get within this new realm. So I wish I had more answers, but I'd love to see an interview with the Broadway League, Al. Okay.
All right. That's a little bit of a hint there. So, you know, Chris Katzman, if you're listening, cue up the email and let's see what we can do to get these questions answered. Do one of those real hard hitting interviews.
Yeah. Right. But I think everything's based on, you know, the world, like the CDC, and we can only do what the guidelines say.
Now, we're about a week out from when this actually happened, if you're listening at home, but last night the World Series ended. Did you see that, just you saw what happened with Justin Turner.
Nope.
Okay, well, Justin Turner, before the game, had an inconclusive COVID test.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Fifth, sixth inning comes around, in case you don't know at home. They determine that it was a positive test. They pull him from the game.
I remember.
And
this.
Dodgers win the World Series, and next thing you know, he's out there celebrating with his teammates. So I think that the baseball world could probably use the same should probably use the same mindset that, you know, Broadway performers like yourself are taking, Kara. Just a little bit of a disgrace to baseball last night. I don't know if you have any thoughts on what happened, but
I don't, and I really only know this because of my husband. I know any sports information because of him. I'm so sorry. Generally, the extent of my sports is like tossing the diaper directly into the diaper genie and making it from far away.
You have a nice jump shot then. That's basketball, but that works.
I know. Sorry about that. I said sports.
Very true.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Well, I want you to, like, now here's a chance for you to feel like you're actually at the plate, like you're going to play a sport. And we call this little segment Fastball Derby. Have you listened to Break a Bat before, Kara?
No, you're testing me. Okay.
So I want you to visualize yourself. It's the ninth inning. The game's on the line. You have to win. There's two outs. But Aroldis Chapman is on the mound throwing 105 miles an hour. So you got to think quick.
Shoot.
Yeah, this is where I'm going to ask you a question, and you're going to say the first thing that comes to mind.
It's very high stakes that I feel my heart beating.
You performed on bigger stages than Break a Bat, so I'd hope that...
I'm ready for you. I'm so ready.
All right. From the windup, favorite New York City meal?
Saggio's in Washington Heights, Italian.
Nice. What, by the way, what type of Italian are you? Sicilian, Napolitan?
It's Calabria, so it's southern Italy. It's not Sicily, though.
Okay.
Yeah, like the toe.
Okay, so you do the seven fishes and stuff on the holidays?
Yes.
Nine yards? Okay. We have some cousins from the father's side is Calabrese, so.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, cool. Yeah,
people.
The seven fishes. I'm sorry. I just don't like that part. That's all right. Okay, sorry, we're going slow. I'm not winning this game at all.
It's okay. Oh, no, there's no time limit. That's the beauty of Fastball Derby. You could actually use it, you know, derail the game and take, you know, foul a few pitches off.
Oh, great. I love foul.
If you could play one position in baseball, what would it be?
Oh, God, I don't know. Pitcher.
You have a lot of control as a pitcher. Okay. That's a good choice.
I like control. Okay.
You're on a desert island. Which cast album are you taking with you?
Ragtime.
Team Jeter or Team A-Rod?
A-Rod.
You must like J-Lo.
I do. Hello. Yeah.
Person in the audience you were most intimidated to perform in front of?
Family members, closest family members, because I care about them and I have to see them on a daily basis, so I don't want to suck.
And the Italians, we let you know about it if we're not happy with one of our relatives.
Like, you're great. I was making faces. You can't see it, but they can't.
I'm all too familiar with that face. All-time favorite film.
Oh, I used to say Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. I think, I'm going to stick with that one. That was a good, also Truman Show I really liked.
Oh, that was a good one. I like that. Jim Carrey is always great.
Oh, Jim Carrey as Joe Biden on SNL is amazing.
Unbelievable. I like his Biden more than Baldwin's
Biden?
Trump.
Oh, Oops. I thought you were going to say I like his Biden more than Biden's Biden.
Oh, no. No. Just side by side. I mean, he can't compare anyone to Jim Perry. He's in a league of his own.
He, the way he embodies it, I was like, I believe that he's Biden more than Biden is.
Come on, man.
Yeah. So good. So good. Anyway, so I love Jim Carrey. And Liar Liar.
Oh, that's that and Bruce Almighty are my two favorite Carrey films. So that's a good choice too. The pen.
Royal blue.
I love also the scene when he has when he puts the soap in his hands and he like puts it into his eyes, freaking out in the bathroom. That kills me every time.
Just could you imagine being the like film directors or like the cameramen behind, like I would not be able to hold it together. I would need to like escape into another land.
Yeah, I would not be able to do my job. Exactly.
No. Sorry. Now, keep going.
This one's from our loyal listener, Fast Food Nick. You have to. It's a cool nickname, I know, but you have to binge either the Muppet Show or the Brady Bunch. Which do you choose?
Muppet Show.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's a coin flip. That's a coin flip for me.
If you said Golden Girls, I might have to think even harder.
Oh, wow. I wouldn't have pegged you as a Golden Girl.
It's so good. Yeah, that's what I watched in college for some reason. It was the one thing that my roommate and I bonded over. One thing.
Yeah, not the artistic talent that it takes, you know, to even get into Carnegie Mellon. You bonded over.
No, she wasn't theater at all, which I think is better.
Most embarrassing onstage moment.
Most embarrassing? There are a lot, but I think when you enter the white room, have you heard of this phrase?
Oh, of course.
Where you don't know what day it is, what your name is, what show you're in, anything. And then you realize that people are looking at you and you're supposed to remember the line and you don't remember it. And you just say gibberish. That's the most embarrassing moment. That happened, and that's happened a few times, but Wicked, I remember it was just me and the wizard and in the second act, and I just had no idea. I got hot and I saw the music director, the conductor, he was sitting there looking down because they weren't playing at that moment. That was their time to chill. And it was quiet for so long that he looked up at me and I looked at him and he was like, so I'm making a face like he's like, are you gonna say something? And I was like, I don't know what to say. So, oh gosh, it was just the worst. So I just repeated myself. And then thank God, Madame Warble just came in. She just came in and said her line because we weren't going anywhere. The show stopped because my brain stopped. But moments like that happened a lot. And those are the most embarrassing for sure.
Right. Switching gears then, what's the proudest moment of your career?
Oh, I think the filming of Newsies. That was just such a neat moment, and to get to return to the role after having learned a bit more, being in the business a little bit longer and doing Wicked. I had done that show and, you know, being in a different character, a different energy, and then being able to bring that to Catherine in a different way. I mean, Catherine and Glinda are very different, but that was really cool and so rewarding and so fulfilling, and just it was a full circle kind of moment. And so I didn't even mention that when I was in middle school, we did Seize the Day for our show choir, and that's like kind of when I first started to learn about Newsies, and I loved it so much, the 1992 film. And my middle school, I wasn't in the show, but they did an illegal production of Newsies. I say illegal because it wasn't licensed yet. So it was just cool to like get to do that, and specifically film it and preserve it. That experience was really cool.
And lastly,
oh,
what's the best piece of advice anyone ever gave you?
There are several pieces of advice, but I think the be kind to everyone, no matter what. You just never know who you're going to be working with. And also, why be mean to anyone? It's just, life's too short. That's a good piece of advice that I received and also give. And then I think that don't take it too seriously. You know, you get to act and be fun. And I mean, depending on the show, sometimes it's dark and, you know, very serious, but still you're telling a story. Like it's just not that deep that we need to get really crazy. Or get too nervous. And I think that's really where it comes from for me, that, I get very nervous because I care about it. I have stage fright, I have all those things. And a lot of people deal with that. But I think if you just let go of it and say, just have fun, like stop taking it so seriously and just let go and just go do it. That's it. Just let go. Just go. I think that really helps me. And I've been told that, and I tell that to other kids too. So, yeah.
That's awesome, Kara. And, you know, obviously we're so grateful that, you know, we have folks like you representing the Broadway community, and I hope all of our listeners certainly enjoyed this. If they wanted to connect with you on social media and whatnot, where's the best way they could find you?
Kara Lindsay One, is Instagram. And then I think Kara Lindsay One is also Twitter, and I'm not on the TikToks or anything else. So that's it.
Me neither, honestly. I not to sound like, you know, old man on the porch, but the kids today with the TikTok, my God, I wouldn't be able to put that amount of energy into doing something for 10 seconds. The mental exhaust that these kids have. So you talk about don't take things too seriously, not to, you know, crap on people who like TikTok, but that's like people are taking that too seriously right now.
Truly. And I think it's just so funny that it's called TikTok. It's like the clock is ticking and I'm just wasting my time being on the TikTok. I just like, no, TikTok for the clock. I don't want to learn about it. But yeah, Kara Lindsay One.
Awesome, Kara. Well, folks, I really hope you enjoyed this episode. I can't thank you enough for listening, Kara. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Al. It was so nice to meet you and see your face.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing you back on stage soon. And to all the folks at home, be sure to subscribe to Break a Bat wherever you get your podcasts. This is Al Malafronte signing off for the Broadway Podcast Network. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Break a Bat. This is produced by the fine folks at the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit and subscribe at bpn.fm/breakabat. You can find me online at break_a_bat_podcast. And you can also find the Broadway Podcast Network on Instagram at Broadway Podcast Network. It's been so great having you here with us today, and we'll see you next time.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.